Okay, so this is a very well-known Gemara, and
Is it very famous?
it is well known, famous. I hate that. Famous.
Thank you.
When I was in YU,
Very famous
right,
Gemara.
Nussbacher from Shalavim came for Shabbos once, and
Any
well, he said, no, he said, I don't like famous, because famous usually, right, it's bragging, because it means I know it and you don't, or my Rebbe just said it, right? So you have to come up with something else. So the Gemara has a very interesting little discussion. Well, Samach Bet Amud Aleph. The first word on the page. Okay? So the Gemara says as follows, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, it's a series of weird Gemaras. Rabbi Akiva said, Pam achad nichnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua levet hakisei. Once I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom.
Oh,
Vilimati mimenu shlosha dvarim. And I learned from that incident three things. She'ein nifnin mizrach u'marav, that when you relieve yourself, you don't face east-west. Ela tzafon v'derom, you face north-south. Vilamadi she'ein nifra'in mi'umad, and I learned that you do not relieve yourself standing. Ela mi'ujav, you sit. Vilamadi she'ein mekanchen bi'amin, and I learned that you don't wipe yourself with your right hand. Ela bismol, you use your left. Amar le ben Azai. Ben Azai said to Rikiva, Ad kan he'azdo panecha birabecha. You're that chutzpidik to your Rebbe? Amar Lei said, oh, what's the problem? Torah hi v'lilmod ani tzarech. It's Torah, and I need to learn. Tanya, Ben Azai Omer, so then Ben Azai, who had just said chutzpah, says, Pamacha nechnasi achar Rikiva v'nakise. Well, he told me that it was fine, so I followed him into the bathroom. V'lamati v'nishlosh dvarim, and I learned, well, the same three things. And this time he said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ad kan hei azta panecha. Rabecha, you're that chutzpik? Amar lo, Torah hi v'lamoda nitzarech. What's the problem? It's Torah. I need to learn it. And then in the all-time most chutzpik Gemara, Rav Kahana, al gaga tute puraya dirav. Rav Kahana went under the bed, the marital bed of Rivka, right, yes, of Rav. Shame desach v'sachak, he heard him talking and laughing, v'asat rachav, and then, fulfilled his needs, literally, right? Amar lei, and then he just couldn't help himself. Dumu dibu dime pume da abba kidlosarif tafshila. The mouth of Rebbe is like someone who never had food. I mean, what is this passion that is going on over there? Amar lei, Kahana. What did he say? Kahana, what are you doing? Hachat puk. You're here. Get out of here. The lav urech ara. This is just wrong. Amar lo, Torah hu hi, v'lil mod ani tzarech. He said, it's Torah, I need to learn it.
Am I supposed to be thinking that this is like too far? Is the Gemara supposed to like, am I supposed to be picking up on
that? Okay. So, and now the Gemara then says, and then starts asking Shailas, small, so why do you wipe with the right and not the left? El Amarava Mineshator Nitenet Biyamin, because the Torah was given with the right hand, Shanemar Mino Eshtot Lamo. And Rabba Barbrachanam Rabbineshi Krova Lepet, because it's the one you use for eating more, and therefore, you know, you want it clean. Rav Shimon Ben Lachar Mineshi Kosher Bar Tzvilin, right? Because you wrap with a tzvilin. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mineshi Mara Bo Tamei Torah, right? Because you do this, you know, when people don't own a lane, you know, they do this. The Hendings, that you do that, right? You know? You know, all that stuff, right? This.
Hand symbols for the
right hand, not left.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff. And you do the right hand. And then the Gemara goes on. Okay. I want to talk about this Gemara. Yes.
So the three things that they learned, how did they learn that from one time? Maybe it was just like, that's what he was doing.
Oh, good. Okay. So there's three things I want to. Okay. There are three basic notes. There are three basic notes I want to make about this Gemara, okay? One is about what does it mean to learn Torah and Halacha in general, right? And what do these stories teach you? The second is a brief note halachically about the Halacha of secrecy. And the third is, what is this, the third Gemara, which is normally what's which is better known than the first two. What does this teach us about, right? What does that teach you about sexuality? But I want to start with the first question, okay? What does this teach us about what it means to learn Torah? That this,
all extreme.
This, all this, right, makes sense at all, right? What does this mean?
All extremes to learn Torah.
Great. That, so you could just say, oh, it's a quantitative point. I mean, you know, oy the Mesiras Nefesh for Toyota. Oy the Mesiras Nefesh.
On their part, he's sneaking into the bathroom with direct.
I know, it's creepy.
Nefesh is under...
I will kick you out. I'm just saying. It's disgusting.
But... maybe it lends itself to the finality of Torah.
Meaning what?
The Torah should be so that... Well, we know we shouldn't be thinking about it in the bathroom, but it should probably be to every
okay, good. So Josh says the what you're learning from this is how far you go to learn Torah. Yotam says it's more than that. It's about what counts as Torah, right? The fact that the Torah permeates into the bathroom, into the, right, into sex, into...
Well,
it's
no...
Oh, okay, no.
Well,
right, Yotam then asked a better question. Whoa. What exactly do we mean by Torah here? I mean... What here is Torah? I mean, what exactly is going on? Is this all really Torah? I mean, what is the line here?
What?
Okay, well, so what counts as Torah? And you look at it and you're like, well, is this halacha? I mean, is it their practice? I mean, what exactly is it? Right? That's really the question you have to ask, right? Which is, what is the Torah going on here? Is that really Torah? Is it halacha? Is it just, what is it?
Maybe it's the pervasiveness of from Rebbe to Talmud.
Okay, so maybe you just say, oh, it's not really Torah, but there's something about the Rebbe Talmud relationship, maybe, right? Maybe but what's clear is that something's going on here that's very important about what Torah is, right? Something very important is going on here. Okay, so look at the Marsha, the source one. Marsha says, "Hey, az tavachule, amar lei Torah hi." The ein lahakshota kati miyach richo laha is panav. He says, you know what? This doesn't sit right with me. He says, listen, even if it is Torah, naniach, where's the chutzpah come from? At least ask. Hayala lishol, right? Al dvarim elam rabba. Why do you ask about these things, right? Why'd you go in? V'yish lomar t'lo osik adaite bahani mili didguch shash iser lishol alehem. V'torah hi v'lilmod. He said, what's the problem? These are the type of things you wouldn't think to ask. You wouldn't know what questions to ask. He had to go in. He had to break in to the bathroom because there's, right? The problem is that the type of thing that comes up in a shir, or the type of things you ask about are the things. Right. Correct. And there are certain things you just don't even know. Right? You don't know. Right? And therefore, the reason you need to go is because what this story is telling you is there are certain type of things that if you don't see... The way people act, you don't even know what is in the Torah. You know what questions you're supposed to ask.
How do they know right? This was Torah then?
Right. So I mean, I'll give you. Let me give you an example. Right. There are a lot of people nowadays. You'll see that when they get married, they're very machped that they try that when they're going to when the wife is going to the mikvah, they don't. Right? They try to make sure the kids don't know. Right now. Historically, the opposite was true. It's clear in the Gemara that everyone knew when people went to the mikvah, right? So much so that the Gemara says that one of the reasons that it's usur to go to the mikvah during the day, right, is srach bita, right? Is that if a woman goes to the mikvah during the day, even on day 8, let's say, right, when she could go to the mikvah, her daughter, who knows she's going to the mikvah, won't realize it's day 8 and not day 7, and will think you're allowed to go to the mikvah on day 7, which you're not allowed because we treat nida suffix zava, you need 7 full days, right? Because otherwise, yeah, it would be so teret. But it's clear that women, that their daughters knew. And I, you know, nowadays, most people are pretty private about it, but forget it was telling Ora that she actually does not hide it. Why? She wants her daughter to go going up, right? But on the one hand, yes, it's sanua. On the other hand, if you hide it so much, right, you know, we all know that if we go in a front house, so Hilchot Shabbos, you have some familiarity with Hilchot Kashrus, you have some familiarity with Brachot, whatever, right? Nida, like the whole thing is foreign. Why? Because it's so hidden that we just don't right? We don't even know, and right, there's always that reaction. The first time people learn anything in Halachot Nida, or you teach a chatan, right, and they haven't learned anything, it's like, wait, that's a thing? Wait, what? You can't, right? Like, right, exactly. It's like, what? You can't, that's a real thing? You can't pass things to each other during Nida? It's like, yes, I mean, it's Rav Rashi, but yes, that's a thing, right? These are, right? The more private something is, the less likely you are to see it and even know to ask. The Marsha said, that's what's going on here. The Ka'amar, Hainu Leida, Mashi Yesham Lilmod. He wanted to know what to ask. Devada Yesham Lilmod, Davar Ma Bedine Berakise. There was something to learn about the halacha of going to the bathroom. Chain Sarach Lomar, Vachter Rav Kahana. And the same thing was true of Rav Kahana. So the Marsha gives a very practical answer, right? Which is, listen, there's certain situations, the reason you need to see it was because you wouldn't know to ask. But what is, what's implicit in the Marsha?
Clearly he assumes that there was some sort of halakha around here.
So there's two things that come out of him that's interesting, right? One is that clearly he thinks there are halachot here, right? But the second is that the Marsha think that there's something fundamentally different about learning from experience or from seeing a Rebbe rather than learning in a shir?
Yeah.
No. Meaning, not fundamental. There's the benefit is that you learn. Yeah, right? Yeah. Meaning, you learn there's a practical benefit, which is that you might not have thought of it. But let's say...
There's no, it's just learning.
Right? Exactly.
So it's all Torah. Okay.
Right? But he also thinks that you could learn in a shir. It's just that practically most people won't know what to ask.
like Rebbe Akiva, right? If he wanted to know what the halachot are, couldn't you be like,
"Are there any halachot?" Good. So Yonatan says, "Well, that practical answer doesn't seem to cut it because, well, the one you ask, give me a better raya that Marsha's not right." Mimchilat kvodo, give me a better raya that he's not right. Lidati. How? Because Ben Azai, after yelling at Rabbi Kiva, goes into the bathroom and learns the exact same halachot. That's it. So wait, if the only wrong was practical, that makes sense for Rabbi Kiva, but then why would Ben Azai have to go into the bathroom to learn the same halachot?
It seemed more,
if it was just practical, Ben Azai now knows.
It almost seemed like more of a in your face kind of thing to Rabbi Kiva.
Meaning? Oh, okay. So you want to read this cynically, which is, well, you think that's important, then I will, right? I will violate your privacy, right? I'm not ruling that out. I'm definitely not ruling that. I don't know, but I've never seen anyone say it, but I would not rule it out. Yeah. Sometimes the Gemara is very funny about these things, so it's possible, right? Which is, it's Torah. Let's see how you like it, right? I mean, sure, it could be. I'm glad you appreciate that, Mordecai.
Rabbi Akiva reacted the exact same way as Ben Azai did the previous time. Like, he's not...
No, Rabbi Yehuda did.
He did it to Rabbi Yehuda, okay.
Yeah. Right. So, but let's say... But I think that is a pretty good raya, that Marsha is at least not the whole story. So what else might the story be? So the Gra, in like five words, has a different answer. Okay?
That's about right.
Right? I gave you from the Chavruta where he just quotes it and then expands on it a little bit. Right, he quotes the Marsha, but he says Hagra Beir Kedilael Sheratza Lirot En Hanaga Ki Gadol Shimusha Yoter Milimuda. He wanted to see it. Why? Because it's better to do Shimush Tamid Chamim to learn from their actions than from learning. And what's his source? So he has a very formal source. The Gra doesn't say this, but I think he's right. That the Chavrut is right, that this is the source. Is the following Gemara in Bava Batra. It appears in other places as well. Hurry up. Omer Le'Rabbi Abba. Hora Itmar. There's a machloket. Doesn't matter what it is. And there's two girsot. One says, he said that the statement was Hora, meaning he paskin. The other is, right, that he did. So the Gemara says, why is that a machloket? He acted this way. He paskin that way. What's the machloket? But my kamithkli. So Gemara says, Mar Savar Halacha Adifa. One said that halacha, like teaching theoretical halacha, is better. It's a better way to learn law. And Mar Savar Maisarav. The other one said, no, it's better to learn halacha through action. Tan Rabbanan. And then the Gemara says, Ein Lamedin Halacha. Lo Mipi Alamud. Velo Mipi Maaseh. You don't learn halacha simply from, Lamdus. nor from a story. Until they tell you, and this is just something you should know in general, halacha in the Gemara does not mean what we think it means. It means the opposite of what we think means. Halacha means theoretical law. Limaisa means practical law. Halacha lemaase is applied law. Right? Halacha is theoretical law. So, halacha lemaase, shal v'amru lo halacha lemaase, if he says, is this halacha lemaase, yelech v'yase maase, then you can act. Ubevach lo yidame, as long as you don't, start extrapolating. My ubevach lo yidame, kol ha-torah kule demui midamin and lezen, the whole Torah about extrapolation. So, amar avashi, hachik amar ubevach lo yidame betreifot. Okay, by treifot you can't do it. Okay? Now, why does the Gemara say, so the Gemara here raises the possibility that Maaseh Rav, right, that the story is the best way of poskening. Then it pushes back, maybe not. Now, why is the story the best way?
Because there would be a difference between what he would posken for the people and the ideals that
right, he you could say, posken. Well, that would be why it's weaker, right? Well, you could say that it's not as good because maybe he has a chumrah, but he doesn't speak halacha. Or maybe there were exigencies in his case.
It seems like even if you know the halacha, in between halacha and practicality, there's like interpretation that's in there.
Right, so why would Maaseh be Rav? So one is possibilities. Listen, there's the theoretical law, but then there's all types of things. But if you see if someone acts, you know, right, that whatever factors are going in, right, this is the halakha because he's doing it. Why is it weaker? Because you might say, well, maybe this, right, this case was, you know.
A one-off thing.
Right, right. So like Rav Shechter likes giving this example that he said he has a lot of students over for Shabbos. I've heard this from him several times. There's a bunch of students over for Shabbos, so they bring him wine. I know people always bring wine, right? Now, some people bring red wine and some people white wine. There happens to be a chumrah Friday night when Kiddush D'oraita. So the Rambam is a chumrah, you should use red wine. So Im Kvari has a lot of bottles of wine lying around. So what does he do? He takes out the red wine on Friday night. And then he has white wine left over. It needs to be drunk sometime. So when does he drink it? During the day. And when one of his sons got married, he said his son said to him, whatever he calls him, Abba, Tati, I have no idea, right? Don't worry, I'm keeping your minhag. I only have red wine Friday night, and I only have white wine during the day. And Rav Shechter said, what have you done? That's not a thing, right? I have, my students bring a lot of wine over. I have red at night. I like, it's not a thing. Right, so sometimes, exactly, right? So, right, so sometimes, you know, there were always like, you know, I hated this, but there were always people who thought like, whatever I did, it was like a, you know, like, yeah, exactly. There were always people like, oh, is that like a shita? I'm like, No. It's like, what, everything I do, you have to like, oh, it's because he's being machmir, like some shita I've never heard of. No, not everything I do is a shita, right? Some things I do are shita. A lot of things I do are based on shita, that's admittedly. But okay, so there's, so, right, so it could just be, right, that Maaseh has a practical, right, benefit. It also has a practical downside. But, and I hadn't really thought of it in this way, but as I mentioned to some people, I was listening to a series of Shirim by Yedida Karen, who's writing her postdoctorate research on this, which is that she thinks, and I think there's good reason to believe this, that it's more than that. That the way Chazal actually conceptualize halacha is that action, lived life, is actually part of Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, what counts as Torah is actually much, much wider. Now, why does she believe this? So she said she's doing this postgraduate research on just the halachot learned from the rabbinic practice, personal behavior of rabbis in Brachot, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Tosefta. Just, and Mishnah. Just that, right? She gave a three-part series on that, in Brachot, right? So just to give you some examples, which I think point out, right? I just pulled up her source sheets, and I will run through this, okay? Just to give you the idea, okay? Brachot Chav Zayin, if you want, you can follow along. Brachot Chav Zayin, the sugya of davening on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara is talking about the Zman of Mincha, right? So the Gemara says, Om l'rochisor of Yitzchak. There we pass Rabbi Yehuda, because it's in, right? It's in, Bivchirut is an idiot. Okay, so by Shacharit, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the time. What about by Mincha? Ishtik v'lomer levin lo midi. He said he was quiet and he didn't tell him anything. Amar of Chizda, Rav Chizda says, ah, have a makor. What's the makor? Nechzi anam, let's look. Midirav matzle shel Shabbat, erev Shabbat, mimed yom. Oh, Rav on Friday would daven mincha early. Shma mina, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, adarabba. And then what does it quote? Right? No, you can't prove it from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda davened early. And now what he'll say? What do you expect? What's the counter? He says, no, midi Rav Huna v'Rabbanan lo avei mitzal l'yaruta. But Rav Huna and the Rabbanan didn't. Yeah. Right? Shma mina ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And what's the maskana? Hashtu d'loi idmar hilchot av lo kemar v'lo kemar. Since we don't paskin either. David kemar avid, David kemar avid. If you act like him, then it's fine. You act like him and it's fine. But what does the Gemara actually say? First of all, what's the proof in both directions?
The way people act.
And how does the Gemara phrase the psak? The avad kemar avad. If you act like him, then you acted properly. Right? If you act like him, you act properly.
Why is the Gemara assuming here that they don't have different, like, shitot?
Maybe they do, right? But the Gemara doesn't even bother explaining it, right? The makor seems to be, I saw him do this and I saw him not do this, right? And you can go going, right? Yerushalmi, brachot, bet aleph, okay?
It's also like one of the strongest proofs that they can give usually. It's a really high proof.
For sure. But then you have, okay, brachot, bet aleph, Yerushalmi, rav sha'il rab chia, Rava Velina Chamil Rebechim Kabbalah Lomot Shamayim. Right, they're trying to figure out how much of Shema do you have to say to be Yotze. So they said, well, I saw Rebbe only be Mekabal Omalchot Shamayim. Amar Le Kat Chamina Yav Yadei Al Apoi Mekabal Omalchot Shamayim. How do I know? Because during Shir, when it came to Zman Kriyat Shema, he would say Shema. And how much of Shema would he say? Done. He would cover his eyes, say Shema. Done. Amr lei, then Sarach l'asker yitzim etzraim. He doesn't have to say yitzim etzraim. Amr lei, let efshar delo yati mila. Right, and he says, why not? Because it'll come up. Rav Tavyomi shalor Rav Chizkia lit hada amra she'en lach sarach kavana el pasuk rishon bavad. From here we learn from the fact that Rav during Shir only covered his eyes for the first pasuk that you only need kavana in the first pasuk. Right. So what are we doing? We're not just that the source for Shema, but now it's our source. We extrapolate from his action that, oh, if you only did it for that, oh, then that means you only need kavana for the first pasuk, really, right? And the Bavli's version, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, has a similar version where the Gemara just says Tanu Rabbanan Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Zu Kriyat Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Amar Le Rav L'Rav Chia Lo Chazin El Rabbi D'Mekabel Amud Aleph Shemaim. I didn't see it. Right? And he said, oh, don't worry. When he was in Shir, he would cover his eyes. And this Gemara goes on and on and on. Right? And then the Gemara later on says, I'll give you another story, another proof. What's the proof? That Amar Le Rav Nachman L'Daru Avdei. Rav Nachman used to tell Daru, his servant, his slave, if I fall asleep at night and I haven't said Kriyat Shema, so, B'psuka Kama, in the first Pasuk, Tzaron. Cause me pain. Wake me up. Tfei! More than the first, if I've already gone through the first pasuk and I fell asleep, leave me alone. Let me stay sleeping. This is like, yeshiva guys, it's a shame you don't know these gemaras, right? You would like yell at us when we try to wake up in the morning, right? It's like, say shkriyishma and then fall back asleep. Lo titzaron. And then Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yosef prayed the rabba, avu chechi avid, what did your father do? He said that. That's what he did. When the first pasuk.
Yeah,
right? So then, right, then Yerushalmi and Brachot Gimel Hay in terms of tefillin, tells a bunch of stories, right? Shmuel, Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Lazar, and then Rabbi Chanina would hang his tefillin on the top of the bed, right? Then the Gemara talked about what happens if you were passing gas in tefillin. He would cover it, right? Right? He just goes through all these stories about what they would do. And the Gemara in Brachot Chavdal, it says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ani Ra'iti, Rabbi Shetala Tefillav. I saw Rebbe hang up his tefillin. And what does the Gemara say? Meitve! How could he do that? Atola tefillav yitlu lo chayav. Right? If you hang up your tefillin, your life will be hung. Wait a second. Right? What is the Gemara doing?
Using it as a proof.
It's not just using it as a proof.
It's a question.
Yeah, it's like the line between a text and a story. Ein kaze davar, right? There's no difference. Right? Oh, this happens. Right? He asked a shayla. Right, and then at some point, right, later on the Gemara says, right.
That makes the Babli and Bava Batra read very differently.
Ah, yes.
It's not asking, like, what's better to learn from, but, like, which one of these two sources of...
Exactly, right. And that gives a very different light to the Gemara and Bava Batra. It's saying not, it's practically better. It's, Maisa is actually...
It's similar.
Like a stronger, it's... No, it's like a stronger transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh than Halakha.
Correct. Now, you also get it in the negative.
But,
right? Where? What is the worst... Right, what's the best counterproof? No, a counterproof. Like, what is the best stira, a best tiyuvta, a story, right? Meaning, or I'll take it the other way. Once you, erase that. The negative shows this even better. Meaning what? If you can learn halacha from an action, then what is the worst thing that somebody can do?
Do an action.
That what?
Ah, so you would say that do an action that's wrong, but I'll take it farther. That would make sense. You're doing an aveira. Mm-hmm. There's something...
Do something not like your rabbi specifically.
To do something that is not wrong, but is not like your rabbi. But might teach people the wrong halacha, even though it's not wrong.
Marathayim?
No. What example? The Mishnah, right? The Mishnah Aleph, Perek Gimel. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, and Rachot, which is, how do you say Shema? Beit Shammai says... lying down. Beit Hillel says?
Whatever you want.
So according to Beit Hillel, are you allowed to lie down?
Yeah.
You are allowed to lie down. So Lekule Alma, if you lie down, are you Yotze?
Yes.
On the Rabbi Tarfon. Ani iti baba derech. Rabbi Tarfon said, I was walking on the path, and what did I do? Vitate lekrot, and I lay down, kidivrei Beit Shammai. Visikanti ba'atzim p'nei alistim. And I was endangered by highway robbers. Now, is he wrong?
No.
Look, according to anybody.
Oh.
No, according to Beit Shammai, he has to. According to Beit Hillel, he's allowed to. Right? What do they say? Not that you're wrong. You deserve to die. Shavar Tal Diver Beit Hillel, because you violated Beit Hillel. What are you talking about? Like, you went against Beit Hillel? What are you talking about? Right? Elomai. Right? But no, he doesn't. Beit Hillel didn't say it was wrong, but you're doing something to show people you might have paskin like Beit Shammai, even though it's not wrong, according to Beit Hillel. You should die. Do you understand how harsh? You understand? But that's like,
why are we taking Ganav's opinions into account?
It's not Ganav's. No, it's not the Ganav's opinion.
I don't know, right? Right, and we have a lot of examples. In the second parak, you have, I'm just sort of running, but the second parak, a chatan is patur from Kriyat Shema. And what's the Gemara's kasha? The Rabban Gamliel, Maisa, Rabban Gamliel, Shekar B'Layla Rishon Shanasa. Right? Rabban Gamliel said that he said Shema the first night he got married, and they said, Talmidim said, didn't you tell me you don't have to? And he said, I'm not like you. Right? Right? I'm not like you. Now, what's weird about that story?
It seems like he was posketing something different for himself.
Right, is that now we record a story, it's worth recording a story that goes against the halacha. And in fact, they challenge him, and he says, I'm the exception to the rule. Right, and yet, what we learn the exceptions to the rules from the fact that Ringalil decided he was the exception to the rule. Right, and the same thing by Avelut. Right, you're not supposed to shower right the first night of right Aninut. Rabban Gamliel did after his wife died, and what do they say? You're not allowed to. I'm an Istinus. Think about the stories we're telling. Oh, I am finicky. I need a shower, right? I need a shower. And then a third time, we do this three times. Tevi died, and he let people slave, right? And they let him be Menachem Aval, and they said, "Aren't you not supposed to be Menachem Aval for a slave?" He said, "Yeah, but Tevi was different. Tevi was special, right?"
I still don't see necessarily how this carries over, because with our Gemara, they were doing private action.
Okay, but so let's transition, right? So guys, so the first thing you see is that the actions of the rabbis are Torah and get put in dialogue with Piskei Halacha as if they were, right? Then we learn that even the things that are wrong and exceptions, right? Either that's like terrible to do something that is not actually usher, but might show people that we posture in a certain way, and exceptions to the rule, we tell the stories just as much. But now you say, but what about things that are private? What about things that are not naturally halacha, which is Yonatan's point before, Well, guess what? The Gemara seems to have an expansive idea of that also. If you look at Brachot Daf Nun, right, Nun Amud Bet, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Arba Dvarim Nemru Bepath. There are four halacha we say about bread. In Zorkin Apat, we don't throw the bread. I mean, Razucha Ravashi, Krachu Riftabadi, Adadi, Aiku Kamai, Tamri Rimona, Ishaka Marzucha, Pata Kamai, the Rashi Dastina, Amrali, Losavar, Marda, in Zorkin Oakland. He tells this whole story. They were eating together. They were eating dates. They were eating pomegranates. Amingmar threw Ravashi a pomegranate. He said, don't we not throw food? He said, well, that was only about bread. I mean, like, right, they're at a meal, right? The whole, right? This whole diyun is like, oh, yeah, we had lunch in it, right? Right. Right? And the halachot of benching. Right? How do we learn the halachot of benching? Not by telling you halachot of benching, but from stories. Rav Hananel said that when Rav would mention benching, he would say these things, he wouldn't say those things. Right?
Sometimes I bring both the halachot
and stories.
What? Sometimes I bring both halachot and stories.
Ah. So, one second. Right? Now, I want to give you another example that's shocking. Okay? The Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Bet.
Also
a bracha. These are all bracha, right? Okay. This is just bracha. I think she said it's like 300 times or something. I mean, it's like, it's crazy, right? Tana Rabbanan Hevi'u Lefanav Shemen V'Hadas. If you brought, someone after the meal brought you oil and hadasim. So Beit Shammai says you make the bracha on the oil and then on the hadasim. Beit Hillel says you make the bracha on the hadasim and then the oil.
It's like to like make yourself nice afterwards?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, to anoint yourself and to smell it. So Ringam Liel says, I pass him to Beit Shammai. Yochanan says that it's like Ringam Liel. Right, they tell this whole story. And then it brings a story. There a papa happened to come to the house of Huna, the son of Rav Ika. They brought him both, and he made a bracha on the hadasim and then on the oil. So he says, don't you hold that it's the other way around. You should have said it on the oil. And he says, no, halachan like Beit Hillel, right? So now we bring a whole story, right, to prove it. And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara then ends, Velohi. No, that's not true. Lishtemute nafshehud yavad. He was lying, but he just had to get out of the unpleasant situation and justify his conduct. So now, what do we learn? We tell stories of rabbis that have no halacha. We bring them as if they're proofs, and then we're like, well, whatever. He was lying to get out of a situation. And yet we tell the whole story. I mean, like, what are you talking about?
This is the thing to do.
Right? So like, right? We tell this story even though it's like, in the end of the day, it has nothing to do with halacha, right? It turns out that this is not about halacha, and yet, right? We tell the story, right? So, what is this, right? This pushes us towards the belief that, you know what? Right? What's going on?
That
it's not just that, like, stories are better proofs at some level. Like, the idea of what Torah is much more expansive, right? It's like, lived life is Torah, and therefore, like, telling these stories, sometimes they teach halacha, sometimes they don't, sometimes they're about, obviously, halachic things, and sometimes they're not, right?
But this is the function of Torah Shabbat.
But this is the function of Torah Shabbat. It's about lived Torah, and it's not just about your Rebbe telling you things, it's about, and this gives a totally different idea to what is Gadol Shimusha Shalom Chacham, Yozer Milimudo. It's not like, hanging around with the Talmud Chacham teaches you more halachot. It's like, it's a different, it's qualitatively a different type of Torah. The lived lives of the members of the Misora, right, is part of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? And again, right, there's so many more, right? How you bow in Modim is, right, is based on stories. The entire tefillah that we say, when you go in and out of the Beit Midrash, the Gemara never says you should say it, right? How do we learn those halachot? Rav Nechunya ben Akana would say this, right? When he went in out of the Beit Midrash, and then the Gemara in Tetzayin would bet that you did, right? How do we learn all the tefillot in Elokain, right? Elokain Neshama, Elokain. Right? Right? Yeah, we just go through a list. He said this, he said this, he said this, and then we say, hey, that sounds good. Let's make a conglomerate of them. Right? We don't say this is the text. We say this is what he did. Right? Right? This is what he did. Right? So what it seems to me that when you put this all together, and you can go through all the, right, all our examples, is that this Gemara seems to be part of simply a different vision that we're used to of Torah. Right? The Torah isn't just about text, isn't just about halachot, it's about lived life. The people who live Torah, their very life is somehow itself Torah. Right? And therefore, that includes things that teach us halachot. Those are, includes the stories in the end don't teach halachot. Then include stories that include things that themselves are not obviously halachic. Right? All of those are Torah, because Torah is more expansive. So and includes...
Where's the line between Torah and not Torah?
That's a very good question that I'm not sure the answer is. Right? But Torah is clearly much more expansive, right, than, right, text, right? Mm-hmm. And that... So that's the first point I want to make about this Gemara, because these Gemara are particularly striking, because the idea that you have to break into a bathroom to see how, right, how your, right, how the there is Rebbeim relieve himself, right, and break into his bedroom, right, Zikfar, right, right, that like highlights the fact that, yeah, like, there are very few things that are outside the purview of Torah, but not just what we were saying, so few places where, like, as Yotam said before, where halacha might influence, but like, there's nothing which, broadly speaking, is outside the world of what we call Torah. Not because, like, there happened to be halacha there, but because life is Torah, yeah.
And those stories which don't obviously teach us any halacha, nor do they teach us any obviously ethical lesson, what would it be about Torah?
So again, you could just say, well, clearly everything you do in life has some moral valence and some halacha valence, and that could be it. Or it could be that, listen, right? No, at some level, regular life... Yeah, you know, it just is, right?
So how come sometimes it brings both out, like, halacha and
because,
story?
Because they're both part of the dialogue, right? And just like you saw in the Gemara in Bava Basra, which is better? Well, they're both part of the dialogue. There's two ways you could do this. Maisa Rav Halach, right? Halach Adifa, right? But they're both part of the discussion.
Right.
Okay, that's the first point I wanted to make. Second point, very brief, right? Just throwing this out there, is that there's a huge discussion in modern Pesach. Is there a halachic category that forbids eavesdropping and the sharing of secrets? And if there is, are there exceptions to the rule? This just happens to be one of the Gemara that is invoked in that context. Because just like by what we call Lashon Hara, you have exceptions carved out for certain types safety. Of toelet, right? Safety and toelet and different types of benefits. So the same might be true by eavesdropping and sharing secrets. And one of the Gemaras that's invoked... is this. So I just gave you a brief summary. If you want a full discussion, you can see, I can, you know, this is like, I don't know. This is, I think, one of the five sections in the book I have from Magid. You can look, it's like, you know, so I have like, I don't know, 20,000-30,000 words written on it if you want. Right. This is a very, this is just, you know, two sources on the topic. Rav Dyakovsky is a Dayan in Yerushalayim. Has an article about this on Hazanat Seter. And he quotes our Gemara, Rav Kahana manat lilmod Torah nichnas l'makam Seter, right? He says, oh, Rav Kahana goes in to learn Torah in a private place, which, as Mordechai said, why are you breaching privacy? He said, well, look, it seems to be that in this Gemara, you're allowed to breach privacy for some sort of learning halacha, preventing yourself from violating Avera in the end. And therefore, he says, kanireh, right? There is such a... right, an exception to privacy law, whatever privacy law is based on certain, right, to learn certain things, certain benefits, something like that, right? And this is one of his proofs, and he quotes the Chikkelev of Chaim Falaji, who says in the context of Rabbeinu Gershom, right, Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, to not read mail. He says, Nir Niyodati Shema Shepotech Igeret Hagoy, who, other people's mail, he says, if to read mail because you're worried that someone's in danger, that's obviously not included in the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Right, so again, he says, you see that there are exceptions to the privacy laws, wherever they come from. And again, I don't want to get into that sugya too much. The Choshukei Chemed is on the daf from Zilberstein. Kedarko asks a shayla based on this, and he says, shayla, this is number five, Ruvain wrote shayla asin tefilat Shimon, kidei lemod mimenu ketzad mitpalalim, right? He comes, more specifically, he says, Ruvain wants to listen to Shimon's tefila, like eavesdrop on his whispered, like he wrote son of fun or whatever, to learn how to daven. V'alma mitchananim lefnei Hashem mitbarach, and to figure out what people ask God for. Ha'im adavar mutar, is that mutar, is that, eavesdropping. So first he quotes the Gemara in Yoma that says that there were 10 miracles in the Beit HaMikdash, one of which was that you would stand squished, and then when you would bow, you spread out. And Rashi says there that the reason was because God didn't want you to overhear other people's vidui, right? What they were saying that they did sins for. And therefore, based on this, the Tashbeit says, aha, according to Rashi, this is only in Yom Kippur when you're doing vidui. But otherwise, other types of tefillot, Rav Zilberstein Bekias is very impressive. And he says, he says, however, the Girsa and Rashi might be that you shouldn't hear your friend's tefillah, in which case the Tashbeit's proof would not work. Okay. But he says, if you look at our Gemara, right, even if that's not a good proof, you learn in our Gemara that even if something is normally usher, if that's the only way to learn Torah, it's mutter. And therefore he says, so maybe it's mutter to eavesdrop on someone's tefillah. Right, but maybe not. Maybe it's a problem on its own. Okay, I just wanted to show you that this is one of those Gemaras that they invoke.
Dropping in like these sorts of like problems of violating privacy, it feels like intent is like the foremost concern here.
So intent might be intent might be again. Like I said, I've written a lot about this. I've thought a lot about this. I'm happy to talk about it later. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted you to sort of know that this is one of the sources. No, not in tefillos. In general, on eavesdropping and privacy and all that stuff. I don't even think I included these sources, but maybe I should go back and add it as yet another footnote. I was talking to Rice Clark about this before because he's trying to finish his book, and like, you know, he's like, he's been trying and he keeps adding footnotes and footnotes and footnotes and footnotes and seeing, finding something else. You know, this is the problem. It's endless. It's endless. It's always endless. Okay. The third point I want to make is about the third Gemara here. And this is the one, like I said, that's most quoted, I think, nowadays. And that is the what this Gemara says about sexuality. Okay? So I was, last year I took a course for Chatan teachers with the Moitza of Gush Etzion. And in one of the Shirim, Rabbi Rafi Ostroff, who's the head of the Moitza, he took this Gemara and he said...
They were teaching you how to be a Chatan.
Yeah, yes, it is. No, I wasn't getting married last year. Right? it was a fun course. It was fun. Yeah, it was Chazan classes. Yeah, it was fun. Rabbi Rafi Ostroff said, he pointed this Gemara, and he said, what strikes him about this Gemara, he said, right, on the sexuality plane, right, what strikes you about this Gemara?
The fact that, how passionate.
Oh, good. So he said, some people are struck by how passionate he is, and they point to this Gemara, and I think not incorrectly, right, as one of the proofs that halacha has that the Torah, or at least voices in the Torah, have a very sex-positive view, right? That is definitely one of the ways this Gemara is used, right? The fact that, right, he comes in and you know, right, it shocks the Talmud, right?
It seems to me like in the Gemara there are basically like two factions in terms of like sex positivity and sex
negative. Yeah, no, so definitely in the Gemara there are the sex positive and sex negative voices, and this is definitely amongst the more positive, right? I don't know what sex neutral would mean, right? It's a thing, you know, I don't know. It happens. I don't really have an opinion on it, you know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that would mean.
It's just there. We can't. It's okay.
You know.
I guess it exists.
So what, right? So what, but what else strikes you with this Gemara? So one possibility is, yeah, right? This is clearly amongst those voices. And maybe you even see the dialogue within it where the Talmud is more negative, right? Mm-hmm. Just like, what is going on, right? Tying into our first point, he pointed out there's something which maybe at first glance is actually even more surprising. And that is, when he criticizes him, what does he say? And again, this connects to our first point.
Is that because
it's not normal?
No, and what's his response?
Have you not
Yeah, but what's his response? I mean, what's Rebbe's response? What's, right?
It's not Dafoes.
What's Rav Kahana's response back to him?
It's Torah.
He said, whoa, let's just stop here, right? No one seems to dispute that fact, right? That is not in question.
It's still appropriate.
Right? Is this appropriate?
Because
is the machloket?
It's Torah, and Rebbe isn't like, no, it's not.
Right, meaning no one raised it, right? The fact that it's Torah, no one seems to challenge that. And that seems to be the common denominator in all these Gemaras, right? That even, right, these, right, both going to the bathroom, which is the first two, and sex, the Gemara says, it's not just part of life, it's Torah, mm-hmm. right? That's a really striking statement, right?
Yeah.
Now, we could look at this and say this is sex positive. We could look at it that the machloket is whether the Torah is sex positive or sex negative, right? But, or sex neutral, whatever that would mean. But whatever it is, the Gemara, and maybe this connects to what we said at the beginning, the Gemara clearly seems to think that the point is that it's Torah, right? And that already is quite a striking statement, right? That, the fact that this is Torah, not just like, you know, halachot that might be related to it, but Torah hi, right? V'lemod ani tzarich. That is really, really quite a striking statement about this Gemara. Now, it happens to be that this Gemara does connect to many of the halachot that point in a more sex-positive direction. So I gave you just here because I really wanted to like make sure we covered this tonight because, like, you know, it's the last Thursday of the year.
There is endless.
You know, there is a new book that came out of the summer that I haven't gotten my hands on, which is... What did we say it was? 675 pages on this? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah,
yes.
We did all in like a day.
Well, I don't have the book, so...
But once you have the book, you'll read it in like 10 seconds.
I'll probably read it pretty quickly, but we'll see. I don't know if I'll read it in 10 seconds, but I'll probably read it pretty quickly. You know?
Definitely not more than a day. I mean, you can probably read like...
Okay.
Thank you, Zach. Okay. But if you look, right, the Chavruta here quotes just a bunch of relevant sources. Right? Oh, Chavruta is one of these sources that's on Bar Ilan, but it's footnotes. It's like it's more like a Hebrew Steinsaltz, right? It's like, but their footnotes have like random makorot. So sometimes you just want like a quick summary to put on a sheet. The footnotes are very good. So that was very helpful here. So he notes, he says, listen, you learn a lot of things from here. He says, look, the Rambam tells us that Rav, right? He makes a big deal of the fact that Rav, one of his greatness, right? Rav, remember here, Rav?
Yes.
One of the greatnesses of Rav is, Delosach Sicha Betela Miyamath. He never said anything in vain. Right? That's what the Gemara says about it. And yet, the same Rav, what do we see he's saying here?
He's like laughing and, like,
he's laughing and joking, like, whatever. What does that teach you?
That's very important.
That's not in vain. That Yitachein Shekevan Sheritzu Cheling Mitzvot Ona, since Ritzui, which is hard to translate, but basically, no, that's not the right word. But in context, what it means is, right, making sure that your wife wants to have sex when you're together, right? That is part of the mitzvah of Ona, as the Ramban notes, right? That, right, the mitzvah of Ona, the right, your obligation of regular intimacy is not just the act, is not the act itself, right? And this is clear in a lot of places in the Gemara, right? The Gemara, right, says, right, in Nida, if someone wants to have a male child, which is, of course, the greatest bracha the Gemara could think of, right? So what does the Gemara say? What should you do? What's the schut?
It was about, like, not looking at something.
So there's a lot of things. But there the Gemara says, Yishala betet, right? Which, what does that mean?
It means you have to make sure your wife first.
Yeah. Right, that's what it means. Yishala beten means to spend time on the stomach, which literally means, right, you have to make sure, right, that your wife enjoys, right, or perhaps orgasms first, or whatever exactly, right, think the Gemara means, right? At some point, if you just aren't explicit about what you're talking about, you're not going to get the point. Enough, you know, you're talking too many euphemisms and no one has any idea what you're talking about, right? Right?
Thank you.
Right? But, right? Thank you. Right? But the fact that there's a mitzvah of Ona, and you have all these lines in the Gemara that point to the fact that it's not just, like, at regular times you have to be with your wife, but that you have to make sure she enjoys, emotionally, she's there, physically, she enjoys, right? Those halachot, right, emerge from Gemaras like these.
I guess it also points where Kahana's, like, question in different way, too. Because, like, it kind of seems like he's, like, giving Rav, like, rebuke. Like,
correct, know. right, and that's exactly what you see. Rav Kahana's like, what is going on, right? But the answer is that Rav would say...
Well, I guess he's asking whether or not what he's doing is halacha, or just like...
Right, and Rav is like, what is your problem? Well, like, what?
Let me be.
Like, what exactly do you expect, right? Yes, does the Gemara in Nedarim talk about some people who every time they were with their wife is ki'ilu kafa'u shade, it's if a... The demon was forcing him, right? So, yes, are there people like that? But Rav was clearly not one of those people, right? And he enjoyed, and his wife enjoyed, and that's okay, right? That's good. That's Torah, right?
Gemara's conclusion, or the Agadah's conclusion here, is that, like, Rav Kahana gets him, that's the end?
Yep.
Are we supposed to infer that what he did was incorrect?
Rav Kahana, I don't know. But the Gemara's conclusion does seem to be that Rav is right.
Yeah.
Right? That, yeah, this is a totally healthy, normal, positive.
Oh, for sure. For
right?
Sure.
So we can't really walk away from this mind knowing what, whether it, oh, I mean, I assume
it's
like,
not, don't. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Got it? Okay. The next footnote, I want to make two more points, okay? The next footnote here in the Morena quotes, sorry, in the Chavruta quotes a few important sources. So he says, the Gemara in Chagiga says that afilu sicha kala she'bein ishto magidin lo b'shat mita, that when you're judged in heaven, even the frivolous talk between you and your wife, you're judged on. But the Gemara says, elim kein tzarech l'faisel bar mitzvah kon rav v'sach v'sachak. Right? However, this is apparently not considered batel. Just because it's frivolous, this is not batel. Right? I mean, frivolous is for no purpose. But to have, right, light conversation, because that's part of having a relationship and flirtation is part of it, that's clearly not usher. In fact, it's a mitzvah, right? And he says, nifsak b'shulchan aruch. You think it's just a theory? No, it's just Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch and Resh Mem Yud says, im haya lo kas ima. Right? This is halacha based on the Gemara in the Dharm. If you're angry at your wife, asur l'shamesh. You cannot be together. Ashif I sena. Until you, right? Right? Mend the relationship. You can't do that.
Are
that's usher.
Like,
yes.
Just in general?
Yes, but it has to be not from a place of anger. That's
so
that's usher.
Is it usher to have animosity between you and your wife then?
Yes.
Because then it's usher to be mature.
Correct.
And also not
that's exactly what it is.
Fair enough.
Right? The achol, the saperi, makodim shashim, the ratzota. What you should do, talk it out first.
Yeah.
Right? Talk it out. Flirt. Do whatever you need. Fine. Umash mashimin lokas usher. Doesn't that imply that if you're not angry, right? Doesn't it? But we said, wait a second. Doesn't that sound like if you're not angry, you shouldn't be doing that? It's only like, if I have to undo the anger, right? And he says, no, the Gemara and Nidara makes it clear, Amru Sharak Mili da Alma Sulzachek with Tashmesh. You shouldn't talk during sex. What does that mean? The Gemara and Nidara clarifies, don't talk about other things. Right? Like, when you're having sex, don't say, oh, did you see the bowl game? Did you, right? Right? Focus.
I love
right.
This great Gemara.
Ach Mili de Tashmesh. Yeah, don't do that. Right? Ach Mili de Tashmesh. Mutter. But if you're talking about sex, which presumably means flirtation, not like talking about sex, that's not what that means, right? Flirtation. Bear lacha mishnah, shukdeler zada mutter, la'ara filo ba'ed alma, v'ilu la'natakadeh la mitzvot, ona yidabarak benin tashmish. And he says, right, so lacha mishnah says, okay, fine. Talking about other things is, right, if you're angry and you needed to sort of clear your mind, so then talk about something else, right? Right? But obviously during sex itself, to talk to flirtatiously, whatever, that's mutter, right? Olam harash be'er shemidabra ima binyanei tashmin nahar v'ta'avato kebov lotav emolid banim v'alemi d'ra'o. The rush goes farther, and he says, no, you talk during tashmish not just to calm her down. No, it's because you want to increase taiva. That's the point.
Fascinating.
Right? That's the point.
That's something you should be doing.
Correct, that you should be doing, right? And I'll end with, this was also from Rafi Ostroff, and he points out that this is really a striking line in the Midrash Rabbah. You have versions of it in the Bavli, but this particular word, there's one word that's different than any version you have elsewhere. So the Vayikra Rabbah says as follows: "Vatevar Avi Yona Zuha Taiva." Right, it's quoting a pasuk in Kohelet, and he says this is Taiva. Shehi Matilah Shalom Binish Lishto. Now in the Bavli, you have the idea that sex, right, is Matil Shalom Binish Lishto, right? That right physical intimacy allows. Creates peace between husband and wife. But the version in the Vikra Rabbah changes. It doesn't say Tashmish. What does it say?
Taiva.
Sexual desire. It says that's really. So Vikra Rabbah is quite early.
It's early, okay.
Not all Midrash Rabbah, right? Yeah. But right, the latest of the Midrash Rabbah is by Midbar. Bereshit and Vayikra are the earliest.
Okay.
Right? So yes, Bereshit and Vayikra and the material is very, very early.
Sure, okay.
Right?
Earlier in the
So it's hard to tell because there's the publishing,
right,
and then there's the material. Correct. Exactly. So Vayikra Rabbah is I think though a lot of the material is Tannaitic.
Isn't Bereshit sort of like pre Mishnah?
again, there's publication, there's material. It has Vayikra Rabba, and I'll tell you, what does it say?
Around the time of the time.
Vayikra Rabba, let me just see.
Oh, it's about that time period.
Wait, Vayikra Rabba is, I'll tell you what it says, is... Okay, so... So different people date it between the 5th and 7th century in terms of publishing, but the material is earlier. So you're talking in the time of Chazal, right? The material is from the time of Chazal. But he says what's really striking about this Gemara is that it's not just intimacy, right? Normally, fine, you'll have sex-positive Gemaras. But how often do you have taiva-positive Gemaras, right? The Gemara doesn't usually talk about taiva, lust, right? Right? Negative. And here, what does the Gemara say? No! What creates peace between husband and wife, let's, right, be frank, is desire, is sexual desire, not just intimacy, right, which is a very nice euphemism, right? Right? Is taiva, is lust, right? Is desire, is passion, right? That's a very strict, right? And when you look at our Gemara, right, that seems to be the pshat in the Gemara, right? That's what's being described here, right? Not just they were together, right? He's joking, and so much so that, again, what's Rav Kahana's response?
Like, wow,
what, have you never had sex in your life? Like, what is wrong with that? That's what he says to him, right? Like, tone down the passion. But that's what he says, right? But Rav clearly did not, right? Clearly, that's the point of this Gemara, right? And I think it's just very important to have Gemaras like this in your mind because, you know, and, you know, I've, you know, Yotam, we've talked about this to Shana Bet, we've talked about this at different points, right? But, you know, and I'll just end with this, that, you know, there is this problem in Jewish education that for most of Jewish education, for most of you, I don't know about all of you, but I'm presuming that this is a lot of you. Either your teachers didn't talk about sexuality, and if they did, it was some variation on, well, right, is that Hosea Zer Levatel is the greatest sin that ever existed, right? Some version of that, or don't talk to girls, or Yichud, or Negia, right? However, they probably didn't point out that for most of your life, sexuality and everything that surrounds it is a healthy, positive, obligatory part of a halachic lifestyle, right? The part of your life in which there is no halachically positive expression of sexuality is like, you know, a sliver of your life. The majority of your life, right, most expressions of sexuality potentially are positive, mitzvah, chiyuv, right? Depending on what exactly we're talking about, right? Well, not just Gemara, it's what we're talking about, right? Meaning, right? If it's right, shat ona, if it's the night of tash, if it's the night of mikvah, whatever, right? It's chiyuv. And as you see in the Gemara, it's not just the act of sex for procreation, right? The Gemara is celebrating, right? At least certain Gemaras, I'm not saying there aren't other voices, but passion, right? Physical pleasure, right? Taiva, right? And it's very important to realize those voices exist because, and, you know, I've said it before, is like, it's a really bad thing that for most people, the majority of our Jewish education, if not all of it, is taught in a context where that is what we're being taught about sexuality. And then we leave high school, we leave yeshiva, right? We don't have any more formal Jewish education, right? And maybe you get like a few chasm guys before you get married, and it's like our whole life we're taught that the Torah thinks very negatively about sex and intimacy and whatever, and then like, oh, right before we get married, forget everything we said, and really the Torah is all positive about it as long as it's right. Right? But like the dominant view most of the time, right, for most of your life is positive, right? And as this Gemara says, that's Torah, right? Like all of this is part of Torah. It's a mitzvah. Right, and I think it's just important to just remember that, right? Because I don't want you to leave yeshiva, right, without realizing that much of what probably most of you were taught about sexuality, all the negatives, right? They're not untrue. They're just, it's a skewed view of the Torah's view of sexuality. That's all you ever heard, right? And you look at a Gemara like this, and right, everything about it is surprising. Okay, so those are the three points I wanted to make. One is expanding what we think about what Torah Shebaal Peh is and how much lived life, including things that are not obviously halachic, is part of Torah. The second was just the side point about there are clearly certain exceptions to privacy in halacha. And the third is that this Gemara clearly is among the voices of not just being sex positive, but positive about desire and even possible lust, right? And passion, right? And that being part, and as we said, most surprisingly, being called Torah, right? That is also Torah. And you have to remember that, right? That is a very important thing that emerged from this Gemara. Those are three things I wanted you to take out of these Gemara. And with that, we are finished with Agadata for the year. And we'll pick up next year.